hope of heaven. Did you know when Jesus was born? Continuing our story a little bit. As he was being circumcised and was taken over to the temple, there was a man there waiting for him named Simeon. God had revealed to Simeon that he was going to see this one, the Messiah. You remember this, right? But maybe you didn't remember this, or maybe you did, continuing our story of light bringing relief in the darkness. Simeon called him the consolation of Israel. He consoled Israel. He cheered up Israel. He gave joy to Israel. Amen? You with me? And so I would say that, make this claim that Jesus is the answer to every one of your circumstances or problems of your life. And the first thing that he's the Lord of is that you and I and we are sinners who must be saved, but only by grace through faith. Amen? And after that, he is the answer to every other problem of life. And I want you to see something here that hope is spoken about. You might know these verses. I'm sure you do. There's a famous one in 1 Corinthians 13 that says, "Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of thee is love." You say, why are you reading us that one if the greatest one is love? Well, of course, the love of God is is at the core of everything that he does. And there's faith, though, that brings you into the family of God. But when he does bring you into the family of God, right there in the middle, and through it all, is this great word hope and this great concept hope. You know, Chuck Swindoll, many of you know him, wrote a book about biblical hope. He said this about hope, biblical hope. Hope is something as important to us as water is to a fish, as vital as electricity is to a light bulb. Hope is essential to air to a jumbo jet. Without the needed spark of hope, we're doomed to dark, grim existence. How often the word hopeless appears in suicide notes, and even if it isn't actually written, we read between the lines. Take away our hope, and our world is reduced to something between depression and despair. But he wants us to know, Chuck Swindoll, as he looked at biblical hope, that hope is more than just wishful thinking. Hope is a vital necessity of life, a gift that God wants to give to you. And in a world that regularly writes dreams off as foolish and drains the hope from the heart with dark pessimism, there's a voice crying in the wilderness. A word of enthusiasm for life in the midst of any difficult situation you're in. If you want to smile through your tears, if you want to rejoice through times of suffering, just keep reminding yourself that you're going through isn't the end of the story. That's Chuck Swindoll on biblical hope. You might also know this. There was an atheist philosopher, lived until 1980. I'll butcher his last name. You can tell it to me after. His name's John Paul Sartre. Maybe it's Sartre, but whatever. Right before he was ready to die, remember, he's a philosopher atheist, he so strongly resisted the feelings of despair that he would try to convince himself as he was dying by saying this, "I know I shall die in hope." And yet in profound sadness, he added this, "But I know that hope needs a foundation." Hope needs a foundation. The hope of the world, some people when they hear of hope, think about hope, the hope of the world says something like this, "Oh, I sure hope this or that's going to happen for me." And one commentator said this, "This type of hope is why the lottery system is thriving throughout the United States." Isn't that funny? "Man, I wish that would happen for me. Oh, I wish I would get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Oh, I wish I was married. Oh, I wish I had a better job. Oh, I'm sick of my job. I hope. And on we could go. But that's not biblical hope. Don't confuse worldly hope with biblical hope. The worldly hope is like an optimistic desire that something might or might not be fulfilled. But one great commentary, Warren Wiersbe, says this about hope. I love this definition. Here's another definition of biblical hope. Christian hope is facing present reality with confidence in the future because of God's action in Jesus Christ. You want me to say that again? Okay, I'm going it. Christian hope is facing the present reality with confidence in future good because of God's action in Jesus Christ. Who can say amen to that? Amen. It's a settled hope of expectation because of the person and work of Christ. That's biblical hope. How do I know all this? Or how do these commentators know all this? Well, we read in the New Testament these famous verses about hope. Let me read one to you. In Titus 2, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." There's Christmas right there in Titus. What do you mean, the grace of God? Yeah, in Jesus. "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in the present age." Look, watch this. Watch. "Looking for the blessed hope." Jesus is called the blessed hope, the happy hope, the joyful hope, the one that you can believe in no matter what. You have a settled expectation of good and coming good because of the nature and person and work of Jesus Christ. You and I, as Christians, because a baby came in a manger, have hope. And he came at a time that was gloomy and dark. We read about it. And God's answer was a baby. Keep going in Titus, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Watch this, the greatest Christmas present, verse 14, who gave himself for us. Let that settle. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Watch, zealous for good works. You're not saved by your good works. You're saved unto good works. Amen? And finally, how do I know that Jesus is the answer to all our hope or are our quests for hope? Watch this. Paul in Timothy in the first chapter of, or the first verse of chapter 1 said this, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God our Savior," watch, "and of Christ Jesus," just remember this Christmas, put it in your Bible, put it in your journal, pray it tomorrow. Tell your kids, tell your grandkids, tell your friends, tell your family. It says, who is our hope? You see, our hope isn't in some program or paradigm or a system or way of living. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we study the Bible and become familiar with the Word of God, we see that it's always been that way. God had this plan from the beginning and before the foundation of the world. Remember, right there in Genesis chapter 3, he gives a prophecy about there's going to become one from a woman who's going to, you know, crush the enemy. Right there in chapter 3 of Genesis and all throughout the Bible. And it keeps going, and we have hope. Hope is a vital necessity of life. Now, let me just say this. The Bible tells us that we can have peace with God and have the peace of God. But in order to have the peace with God, Romans 5:1, we must know and understand these things, that all of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. That's the first place we start, the bad news. All of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. All sinners are headed to a place called hell. You could look that up in Psalm 9:17, Romans 2:8-9. All of us are going to spend eternity somewhere, some of us away from God, some of us with God. We want everybody in this room and everybody we know that we can talk to and pray with and share with to spend eternity with God because of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the bad news. So as we start rounding the bend of the Bible, there's only one way to be saved, the Bible says. You can only call on one name, Acts 4:12, 1 John 2:23, 1 John 5:12. It's this, you call on the name of Jesus. he or she who has the Son, S-O-N, has eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life with God. So as we're rounding the bend, the only way that the Bible tells us for us to have peace with God, to spend eternity with God, is to place our faith in a man who lived, died, and rose again from the dead 2,000 years ago. And you can look that up in John 14:6 and John 10, verse 9. And the reason we're saying that is, isn't it funny that we come in here year after year, the Lord blesses us with another year, and we sing these songs, and sometimes we can just sort of get in the habit or sort of just check it off the list, or maybe something isn't happening inside here. Maybe it's happening here or happening through the vocal cords. Away in a manger. But the answer for hope, for heaven, for salvation, for justification, for forgiveness. And I want to tell you something. The answer for your whole eternity is in Jesus. In fact, when we read in Isaiah chapter 9, it also said that there in Isaiah chapter 9 that we were going to rule and reign, and his kingdom would have no end. Remember that? We sing these songs. Well, the Bible tells us that we're going to go on and participate with him in his kingdom. In other words, here's what I'm saying as we wrap this up. You're like, thank you. Here's what the Bible's saying here. That Christmas isn't just at your house. Yeah, at your house tomorrow. Have the greatest time with your families and the loved ones and do your thing. And that's great. I mean, the Lord loves love. But in fellowship. But you're part, if you're in the family of God, you're part of something greater and bigger. That the Lord answered the problem of the entire world with a baby who grew up, was the consolation of Israel, was now the light unto the world. And he says all his followers, they too will be the light of the world. And his followers are going to go with him into eternity and rule and reign in his kingdom with him. Oh my. This is way bigger than just Christmas Eve, 6 to 7, light a candle. I love to light the candles, man. It's so beautiful. But this is bigger. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to have our worshipers come up, and we're going to continue worshiping. But if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, or if you've never come to faith, well, you could do that now, and you could come up and see us after. And if you this year have maybe fallen away from the Lord and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, come back to the Lord, well, pray a prayer now. We'll pray together, and then you come up after, and let's talk before we go on with our Christmas celebration. So go ahead and bow your head. Lord, thank you so much for this evening, and that we could be here together to share your Word, that you are hope, and that hope, our hope, is rooted in your attributes, not on some nostalgic, sentimental feeling or odds. That we can base it on you and your character, your nature, your attributes, and that we can be assured of our coming good, and that you are the answer to all of life's problems, starting with our sin problems. Lord, maybe somebody here has never given their life to you. We pray that they would feel that tug by the Holy Spirit now and come to faith in Christ. Or maybe somebody here has walked away from the Lord or turned their back. Pray that that person would come back to the Lord. Lord, maybe somebody here is being convicted of sin. And there's something here that they're doing and perpetuating that's perpetually happening in their life that they know is wrong. We pray, Lord, that they would be able to, by your strength and power, as you guide them, to lay that down and walk forward in holiness and doing your will. Lord, that starts with me, too. And so we Thank you, Lord, that you bring us out of the gloom and into joy because of the life, the death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.